Paretsky revolutionized the mystery world in 1982 with her introduction of Private Eye V.I. Warshawski. Tough, credible, street smart, and feminine, V.I. challenged the stereotypes of women in fiction as victims or vamps. In creating her, Sarah opened the door for a new generation of crime writers. V.I. reflects Sarah's own ardor for social justice. Sarah came to Chicago from her native Kansas in 1966 to work as a community organizer during the turbulent civil rights era. Sarah served with then State Senator Obama, serving Chicago's emotionally challenged homeless. She's mentored teens in Chicago's most troubled schools and works closely with literacy and reproductive rights groups. In the literary world, Sarah created Sisters in Crime in 1986, an international organization that supports women crime writers. She's received numerous awards and honors, including being named a Grandmaster by the Mystery Writers of America. She now serves as that organization's president. Sarah's memoir, Writing in an Age of Silence, was a National Book Critics Circle finalist. In 2012, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the V.I. series, Mayor Rahm Emanuel declared March 14th in Chicago as Sarah Paretsky Day. Today, we'll speak with Sarah about her newest V.I. mystery, Brushback. Sarah, it's great to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Well, it's good to be here, Elaine. Thanks.
Why the title Brushback?
The book is actually, it's not really a book about baseball, but it's a book that started with my desire to set a chase scene under the stands at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And so baseball is kind of on everyone's mind in the book, and Brushback, that's when a pitcher tries to move a batter away from the plate, and it's also, in the novel, are a lot of people from major international gangsters to some local politicians who keep trying to brush V.I. away from the case.
You know, V.I. gets into trouble pretty quickly in this book. Can you tell us a little about that trouble?
V.I. Comes from a really kind of hardscrabble neighborhood. She grew up under the shadow of the old steel mills, which have rusted into oblivion in Chicago. Her mother died when she was 16, and her first boyfriend, who kind of got her through the weeks after her mother died, he hasn't had a happy life. And Frank comes to see her one day. His mother spent 25 years in prison for killing his younger sister. His mother wants exoneration, and Frank, I won't say that he blackmails V.I. into helping out, but he does remind her that he was there for her when she needed him most, and he needs her now. And V.I., she's tough as nails in some ways, but she really is a sucker for a hard luck story, and so she grumbles, but she says yes.
Well, she does have a heart of gold. You know, Chicago has always been so central in all of your books. At this point in your career, could you conceive of setting another locale?
It's funny that you should say that, because I grew up in rural Kansas. Gosh, rural is the hardest word in the English language to say. But the book that I have just started writing, the plot line is something that happens back in that part of Kansas where I grew up, and I am going to send V.I. there, and I don't know whether that will work or not. And it's a very tricky thing to have someone who knows how to operate in a big city and a city with a lot of corruption and interconnection, and send her to a small town, and what will happen is anybody's guess. I don't know yet myself.
You know, the south side of Chicago is legendary. For those who've never been there, do you ever foresee it changing?
Things change suddenly in ways that you don't expect. The south side of Chicago, the southeast side where the steel mills used to be, it's a very difficult life for people there now. There's been 40% unemployment since the mills shut down, and a lot of gang activity, a lot of new gangs moving into the area. It's not a place I personally feel safe going these days. I used to go down there a lot to do on-location research, and last time I was there, I was very nearly jumped and seriously injured by some gangbangers. So I kind of back away right now. But suddenly, the land where the U.S. Steelworks used to be, the biggest steel plant in the United States, it's suddenly being turned into parkland. There's a new road going through there. There's a lot of talk about everything from big shopping malls to some kind of really good amusement park. And so there could be a sudden dramatic turnaround down there. It's an exciting time, and I hope that we do see some positive change down there.
You wrote in the book about the Uzbeki mob and the insane dragons. Are these actual mobs?
I made up the Uzbeki mob. I was going to use the Ukrainian mob, but I have a cousin who's in the Peace Corps in Ukraine, and I thought, gosh, the poor Ukrainians, they're really suffering right now. So I decided to spare them. The Ukrainian mob is a very scary thing. It's like the Russian mob. It's all old KGB guys who, if you are being hacked and you find that you've got Russian or Ukrainian mobsters hacking you, just back away. Don't challenge them because they will come after you. Mm-hmm. So in real life, they're very scary, but in my fictional universe, I gave the Ukrainians a pass.
And what about the insane dragons?
The insane dragons, in fact, is a real street gang. They're getting more and more bizarre names. I think they're the insane vice lords. I think it's a reflection of their feeling that they're beyond control. They're so bad, they're insane. And I realized that I should have made up names for my street gangs. I had a very good imaginary street gang in a couple of my books, and I should just go back to that.
We're speaking with Sarah Paretsky on The Book Report. You know, I'm going to quote V.I. here. She says, in my own lifetime, 4 Illinois governors have gone to prison for fraud, the mayor of Cicero, numerous Cook County judges, plus state and federal representatives. While this makes for incredibly rich fodder for VI, do you think Illinois leads the nation in this kind of crime at the top?
When I first moved here, the legendary columnist Mike Royko had an informal competition between the state of New Jersey and the city of Chicago as to who would have more elected officials under federal indictment at the end of the year, and New Jersey won by one.
Oh. Well, that's something you'd like to lose. Is there improvement, or is it still as bad as that?
I think that there are things that are better. There are more effective watchdog groups, but it still is a state where what they call it here is pay to play. That who you pay off is who gets the power, and there's not a lot of law. There's not a lot of muscle behind the law to stop that. I don't think it's unique to Illinois, though. I mean, when I look at the way that members of Congress are bought and sold, then I just think we have a serious problem up and down the political spectrum in America.
Yes. Well, V.I. has been one of crime's leading ladies for 17 books and 30 years. How has she evolved?
When I started the series, she was the first or one of the first independent investigators, both on the page and in real life. It just wasn't a job that women undertook back in the day. Ooh, I hate that phrase. Why did I use it? But so she came to the page with a chip on her shoulder about proving that she had a right to be there, had a right to be doing the job. That landscape has changed so dramatically. You know, we have so many women doing professional jobs that didn't exist for people of my generation when we were growing up, on the Supreme Court, secretaries of state, all of these things, and women police officers, women investigators. So anytime I read a new novel where a woman is kind of saying, you know, well, I'm a woman, I can do this job as well as a man, I think you're not paying attention to what's happening in the world around you. We don't have to We've won that war. There are battles that we still have to win, but nobody questions our right to be there doing the job.
If you could go back into the early books and change one thing about VI, what would that be?
I think I would have at least one, if not both, of her parents still alive. I think when I started the series, I was so nervous about whether I could actually write a book and do the job that I pretty slavishly followed the conventions of the forum. And, you know, people like Sam Spade or Philip Marlowe, they're just such loners. They're painfully alone. And so I did like they did. I made my poor detective an orphan. And I think it would make for a richer, more interesting dynamic if she had to deal with her family.
You know, I have to ask, you worked with Obama in his early days. How do you think history will judge his presidency?
I think I don't think Barack is a great politician. I think he's a little aloof, a little too maybe intellectual, but I also think he's had a much more successful presidency than he's given credit for, both by the public and certainly by news outlets. You know, without the stimulus that he provided when he first came into office, I'm convinced we would have had a depression equal to the 30s. We have a very flawed healthcare program, but we have one now. There wasn't one before. The GM bailout was crucial. So I think history is going to look at him and say, this is a guy who dealt with a Congress that publicly stated at every opportunity that their only agenda was to keep him from ever passing a bill. And yet he's been able to do a lot.
I agree with you. Any final thoughts about Brushback?
Well, thing that got the book in motion for me, as I said, was the chase scene under Wrigley Field, and I tried hard to get the Cubs to let me actually to go in and see the stands, what's underneath the stands. I'd been told that when the stadium was built in the 1920s, that it's just kind of a mess underneath, and toilets hadn't been flushed for 60 years and so on. I never could get in to see it. They wouldn't return my phone calls or my emails. So I got to make it all up, and I had a lot of fun with that.
Well, it certainly was a lot of fun, and I'm wondering why you didn't get the mayor to get on their case, but okay.
Yeah, little Rom.
Yeah.
He's a little dynamo.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. I loved the book. It gets two thumbs way up. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Great to talk to you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye.